Welcome to Outbeat Radio on KRCB-FM Santa Rosa. I am Jeff Bashram, and you've tuned into Outbeat Now. I'm in studio tonight with Greg Maraglia, my co-host. Good evening, Greg.
How's it going, Jeff?
It's going wonderful. December 26th, the day after Christmas.
It is. Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to you, and Happy New Year coming up here in just a couple days. Anyway, tonight on the show, we have a wonderful lineup for you. We're going to be hearing from the Community Foundation Sonoma County about last-minute giving, charitable giving. And, Greg, have you ever heard that Santa Claus lives on West 22nd Street in Chelsea in New York?
That's a new one to me. I've heard of Miracle on 34th Street, but not 22nd.
Yeah, Miracle on 22nd Street. Well, that's coming up a little bit later. We're going to answer that question. And coming up right now, though, is the Outbeat Radio News with my co-host, Raid Marilia.
Good evening, this is Greg Maraglia with your Outbeat Radio News for Sunday, December 26, 2010. On Wednesday this week, President Obama signed into law the most significant advance in LGBT civil rights this year, the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
This morning, I am proud to sign a law that will bring an end to Don't Ask, Don't Tell. This law I'm about to sign will strengthen our national security and uphold the ideals that our fighting men and women risk their lives to defend. No longer will our country be denied the service of thousands of patriotic Americans who were forced to leave the military, regardless of their skills, no matter their bravery or their zeal, no matter their years of exemplary performance because they happen to be gay. No longer will tens of thousands of Americans in uniform be asked to live a lie. Our people sacrifice a lot for their country, including their lives. None of them should have to sacrifice their integrity as well.
Senior Congressman Barney Frank had these comments to add about the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
4 years ago, a Republican running for Congress in Indiana said, don't vote for his Democratic opponent, because if he won, Nancy Pelosi would become Speaker, and she would let me enact the radical homosexual agenda. So let me own up to that agenda. It's to be protected against violent crimes driven by bigotry. It's to be able to get married. It's to be able to get a job, and it's to be able to fight for our country. For those who are worried about the radical homosexual agenda, let me put them on notice. Two down, two to go.
And on a related note, Canadian forces have issued a new policy detailing how the organization should accommodate transsexual and transvestite troops specifically. Soldiers, sailors, and Air Force personnel who change their sex or sexual identity have a right to privacy and respect around the decision, but must conform to the dress code of their target gender. Sherry McLeod, the executive director of PFLAG Canada, said, when government becomes more inclusive, over time, society will follow. And here in the North Bay, Sean Calloway and Russell Zink of Sausalito wanted to do something special to support the work of the Spectrum LGBT Center. So they set a goal to raise $25,000 by December 31st of this year. The generous couple, longtime supporters of the nonprofit, generously kicked in the first $2,500. Calloway said Spectrum's work is all about standing as a beacon of light for the LGBT community in the North Bay, especially for young people who turn to Spectrum for support and guidance, and to seniors who are charting new ground for living a life fully. The funds will assist the San Rafael-based group's many programs, including its new youth advocacy project. Spectrum will advocate for safe schools and legislation such as the Fair Education Act, which ensures that LGBT people are fairly and accurately included in instructional materials. Spectrum Executive Director Paula Pilecki said, when Sean told me they wanted to help, I was elated. It means so much, and it's so effective when donors are willing to stand up and raise money for our programs. We rely heavily on the financial support of individual donors, and Russ and Sean have taken a lead in a significant way. Next year's federal and state budget cuts are crippling many North Bay nonprofits serving the LGBT and HIV/AIDS communities. Less than 10% of Spectrum's current operating budget, which is $325,000, comes from those sources, so it will not be terribly impacted. However, many of their business supporters have been adversely affected in this economy and have been forced to cut back in their charitable giving. 60% of Spectrum's revenue comes from individuals, many of whom can no longer afford to give at the same level, if at all. Pilecki added, Spectrum is one of about 130 LGBT community centers around the country. Most of these centers have small annual budgets and do not benefit from the fundraising efforts of the very large LGBT organizations that are doing the heavy lifting of policy and advocacy work around the national level. We rely on these organizations to advance the broader movement, but it's the smaller community centers that keep the lights on for the LGBT community at the local level. Spectrum is still $10,000 short of that $25,000 goal with only 6 days left. Now you can help Sean and Russ by making a donation to Spectrum via PayPal at www.spectrumlgbtcenter.org. If you prefer to make a pledge by credit card contribution, you can call their offices at 415-472-1945, extension 209. And if you have an event you would like to share on the air with our listeners, you can tell us about it by going to our own website at outbeatradio.com. Just click on Outbeat News. For Gary Carnevale, I'm Greg Moralia.
I really can't
but
stay.
Baby, it's cold outside.
I've got to go
but
away.
Baby, it's cold outside.
This evening has been
hoping that you
so very nice.
I'll hold your hands, they're just like
my
ice.
Mother will start to
beautiful
worry.
What's your
my
hurry?
Father will be pacing the
listen
floor.
Listen to the fireplace.
So really, I'd better
scurry. Please don't.
But
hurry.
Maybe just half a drink
put
more.
Put some records on while I pour.
The neighbors might think
maybe it's bad out there.
Say what's in
no
this
caps
dream?
To be had out there.
I wish I knew
your
how
eyes are like starlight
to
now.
Break this bed.
I'll take your hat. Your hair looks well.
I ought to say no, 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 sir.
If I move in
at
closer,
least I'm gonna say that I tried.
What's the sense of hurting my pride?
I really can't stay.
Baby, don't hold out. Baby,
oh, but it's cold outside. Simply must
but
go.
Baby, it's cold outside.
The answer is
but
no.
But baby, it's cold outside.
This welcome
how
has
lucky
been
that you dropped
so
in.
Nice and warm.
Look out the window at that
my
storm.
My sister will be suspicious.
Gosh, your lips look delicious.
My brother will be there at the door.
Waves upon the tropical shore.
My maiden aunt's mind is vicious.
Ooh, your lips are delicious.
But maybe just a cigarette
never
more.
Such a blizzard before.
I've gotta get
but
home.
But baby, you freeze out there.
Say, lend me a coat.
It's up to your knees out there.
You've really been
I thrill when you touch my hair.
But don't you see?
How can you do
bound to be talk tomorrow.
Think of a lifelong
at
sorrow.
Least there will be plenty implied.
If you got pneumonia and
I really can't
get
stay.
Over that holdout.
Oh, baby, oh but it's cold outside.
Welcome back to Outbeat Now on KRCB-FM Santa Rosa. I'm Jeff Basham, and you were just listening to Baby It's Cold Outside, sung by the Glee cast. We are honored to have a representative from the Community Foundation Sonoma County in studio with us tonight. Miguel Ruelas is here, and thank you for joining us tonight on Outbeat Now.
Great, thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely. So tell us a little bit about yourself. When did you come to Sonoma County, and what brought you to the Community Foundation Sonoma County?
Sure. I've been with Community Foundation Sonoma County for a little over 8 years. What brought me to the Community Foundation, of course, is my strong interest in charitable giving. I have been working with community foundations and in the nonprofit sector all of my adult life.
Awesome, awesome. So when was the Community Foundation started or founded, and what is the exact mission?
Sure. The Community Foundation was founded in 1983. We're 27 years old, and the mission of the Community Foundation is to strengthen our local communities through effective philanthropy and civic engagement. My role at the Community Foundation is that of the Director of Philanthropic Services, and my job is to manage and oversee all advised funds at the Community Foundation. And when I say advised funds, it's I'm talking about individuals and families who have us manage their philanthropy. I help and instruct them on how to give charitable dollars away.
I see. I see. So how many different funds are there?
We have about 450 funds at the Community Foundation, probably 130 of those are what we call donor-advised funds, which is probably our most popular product, if you can call it that. Mm-hmm. This is a way where a family or an individual can simply open a fund called a donor-advised fund. From that fund, then they're able to make grants to their favorite charities over their lifetime. Over and above donor-advised funds, we manage scholarship funds. We have organizational funds. These are nonprofits who have us manage their endowments. And we have a number of field of interest funds and other planned gifts.
Awesome, awesome. So what is the total size of the full foundation?
We have $143 million in assets. We look at really two different things when we are measuring our success. We look at certainly money coming in to the Community Foundation and grants going out into the community from the foundation. And to date, we've had $120 million in grants going back into our community.
That's wonderful. Wonderful to hear. We are mainly a GLBT show, gay and lesbian, bi and transgender. And so I understand that one of those funds that you guys have is called the Rainbow Fund. Can you tell us a little bit more about the Rainbow Fund?
Sure. I'll tell you about the Rainbow Fund. And if you don't mind, I'll tell you about a couple of other funds that are very similar to the Rainbow Fund.
Sure.
So one of the funds that we administer at the Community Foundation is the Rainbow Fund. The Rainbow Fund was established by a group of individuals who are very philanthropic, who wanted dollars to stay here in Sonoma County. I have been working with this group for 5 years now, and they are just doing amazing grant making here in Sonoma County. I work with them on a fairly regular basis. I meet with them at least two or three times a year. The group comes together, they make decisions on grants that they want to make here in Sonoma County, and we simply get those grants out. However, we are not limited to making grants in Sonoma County. We can certainly make grants to other nonprofit organizations in the Bay Area that are doing programs here in Sonoma County.
Okay, so if someone were to be connected with a nonprofit that they would like to apply for a grant from the Rainbow Fund, how do they go about doing that?
They can go to our website, and we have the guidelines there. Mm-hmm. Or they can call me directly. That's Miguel Ruelas at Community Foundation, Sonoma County, 707-579-4073, and I'm at extension 19. And on our website, which is www.sonomacf.org.
Okay, and we'll share that one more time with everyone at the end of the interview.
Okay.
So that you can grab a pen and paper if you didn't catch that. So moving away from the Rainbow Fund now, just in general, as the end of the calendar year approaches, a lot of people start thinking about some last-minute tax deductions and, oh, I have some money I want to give away. So tell us about the benefits of giving to a nonprofit organization.
Oh, absolutely. Year-end giving is it happens, of course, all the time. People wait until the last minute to mm-hmm. give. You don't necessarily have to wait until the last minute, of course, but if you are still thinking about making a gift to a nonprofit organization, you can claim up to 50% of your adjusted gross income by giving directly to a charity. All these gifts are tax deductible. If you give through the Community Foundation, we will send you a letter acknowledging the gift so that you can use for IRS tax purposes. But there are a lot of wonderful organizations here in Sonoma County that you can give to directly and still claim that same benefit. If you don't mind, Jeff, I'll
sure.
just quickly
run you through
a very fast list of organizations that are in need of support right now. Positive Images, if you don't know about Positive Images, they're a wonderful organization that works with youth here in Sonoma County. The number of youth has increased by one-third this year, and I'm sure that has a lot to do with the good work that they do with regards to promoting the program.
Mm-hmm.
Yet they're giving to them to support their program is down by 50%. So it's an organization that can clearly demonstrate that they are servicing more youth, yet because of this difficult economy that we're in, the gifts are just not coming in. So mm-hmm. that's an excellent group. PFLAG North Bay is another organization that is doing really wonderful work. Jeff, earlier you mentioned what funds do we have at the Community Foundation that are LGBT funds?
Yes.
Well, over and above the Rainbow Fund, PFLAG North Bay is also a grant-making fund. And an organization can make a request to PFLAG and receive a grant. They do grant making primarily in Sonoma, Napa, and Marin counties. Grant requests for PFLAG North Bay can come either to us at the Community Foundation or they can go directly to them. And they have guidelines just like the Rainbow Fund has guidelines.
Sure. Any others?
Yes, there are a few others. Spectrum Center does wonderful work, and they are in Marin, but they do programs here in Sonoma County. They have a wonderful seniors program. I think most of our listeners may know that in Sonoma County, we have the largest number of couples probably in the country, and that's one of the reasons that the Lodge was a good place for senior housing here in the county. But Spectrum is doing a wonderful seniors program both here in Santa Rosa and in Sonoma. That's a great organization that you could support. Face-to-Face obviously has been around and is doing amazing work.
They sure
food,
are.
Yeah, Food for Thought. And I'm just going to rattle out some organizations because they're all in need of support. And, of course, the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence here in Sonoma County.
Which I am very familiar with.
They are a 501c3 public
yes.
charity. They can
yes.
Take gifts directly, or you could probably go to their website and give
Absolutely.
Online.
We do.
And that online function is available also at the Community Foundation to those organizations that have funds with us, like PFLAG and the Rainbow Fund.
Okay. We've now spoken about all these different great organizations. Maybe there's an organization that someone out there wants to give to that we didn't mention.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think that they should look for to be sure that the donation is going to be eligible for tax deduction? And what kind of documentation should they seek from the nonprofit?
They should call the nonprofit directly if they can, or just Google them. Go mm-hmm. online and look to make sure they are a 501c3 public charity.
Okay.
Some of these organizations are too small to accept more complicated gifts like stock gifts, but certainly they can, you know, they'll take cash and you can write them a check and mm-hmm. send it directly. But I would advise you to just do a little of your own due diligence. Go online, call them, make sure they're a 501c3 public charity. And if you like the organization, but really would like your dollars earmarked for a particular program that they're doing within that organization. Let's just say, you know, if you want to support Spectrum, but you want to support their senior program here in Sonoma County, you need mm-hmm. to make sure that you articulate that somehow, that they understand that your charitable dollars are earmarked for a particular program. So I have been doing this for many, many years, and I know that, you know, we're making a big difference in our community, especially the LGBT community. It was my dream to establish the Rainbow Fund, and it took me a couple of years to really get that program up and running. We still want people to participate in the Rainbow Fund. We'd like to grow it. We have what we call an endowment fund, and then we also have what we call an expendable fund. The difference between the two is that an endowment is there in perpetuity. It's going to be something that's going to grow, mm-hmm. that in the future we'll have those funds available to benefit our LGBT nonprofits here. Our expendable fund are dollars that you as donors can earmark so that they're making an impact today.
Wonderful. Well, Miguel, it's been wonderful having you here on Outbeat Now tonight. I really appreciate you joining us. Can you give your email address, your website, and your phone number one more time for anyone who wants to get in contact with you?
Sure. The website is www.sonomacf.org. My email address is MRUELAS@sonomacf.org, or you can call me directly at 707-579-4073, extension 19.
And Miguel, thank you very much for joining us tonight.
Jeff, thank you so much for inviting me, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, and Happy New Year.
Thank you.
Greetings, I'm Sister Sarah Femme Fatale. In this time of frenzy and frolic, I offer you this moment of peace. To breathe in the cold and the crisp, enjoy the stars in the skies, reflected in trees and wreaths and rain. Hear bells in the wind. These are holy days and are to be celebrated as such. May you find love and laughter, beauty and bliss, harmony and home. Honor the gifts of family together. Rejoice in moments of solitude. Take time for what is most important, yourself. You are the greatest gift anyone could ever ask for. A most amazing blessing. Joyous holidays to you from the Russian River Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. We love you, and there's not a thing you can do about it.
Thank you. When I saw the first letter to Santa Claus, it was like, oh, that's weird. And then 10 more came, 20 more, 50, adding it up, there's something going on here. Yeah, the rest of the Santa letters.
I'm Jim.
And I'm Dylan.
And over the past month, we've received hundreds of letters addressed to Santa Claus.
The thing is, we don't know why we're getting all these letters. This is the routine. Get in, and then we, you know, like most people, you check your mail before you come up. And this is what happens. You know, the New Yorker, some sort of flyer, and then literally, like, so many pieces of mail that it happens every time. It, like, falls. Santa Claus, Santa Claus. They're all Santa Claus. I don't even think we have any mail. Our address is on 22nd Street, apartment number 7, New York, New York, 10011. I mean, it's not at all on the North Pole. Kids think that Santa Claus lives in Chelsea.
We're getting letters from all different boroughs.
Bronx, yeah. Upstate New York, yeah. Staten Island.
Northern New Jersey. I was the first, I think, to get on Google and see if we could try to find out what the cause of this was. Mm-hmm. We've considered the fact that there's some organization with a similar address, or that it's a scam.
A cruel joke someone's putting on us.
Yeah, yeah. I always sort of
really
imagine, like, I don't know, for some reason I always sort of imagine this teacher writing our address on a chalkboard and saying, now it's time to write to Santa. But as it's progressed, I've cared about that less and less and been more like, okay, you know, is there an expectation here? What do we need to do? Dear Santa Claus, for my baby sister, she will want a bear of Dora and her Dora puppy and some Dora t-shirt, size T3, some bottles for her to drink with a cup of Dora. Thank you, Santa Claus. Jasenia.
Dear Santa Claus, my name is Aisha. I am 10 years old, and I'm in the 6th grade. I live with my mom, my two brothers, and my sister. Can you help my mom by getting us presents? My address is in the Bronx. Merry Christmas.
It's more emotional than I think I thought it would be for me. Even when they're not sad, it's like the expectation or the anticipation in them makes me a little sad.
Well, that's the thing, is that, like, how would you choose? We're the ones getting all of them. How would we choose which one? And is it our place to I think if you're going to do one, you should do them all, or none at all. I don't know. Is that weird? I don't know. There's no rule book for this.
If the letters are still there Christmas morning, I will feel incredibly guilty. They need to go somewhere, and we just need to figure out where they need to go.
Okay, so here's all the letters.
Hold on. I only need one, right?
Yeah, just one. It is December 20th, 4 days till Christmas Eve. Did you take a letter? We're at my office, and I brought in the letters to Santa. Yeah, grab one. It's like a lottery.
What if they want a PlayStation?
I don't know. Do you guys want to take one so you'll fulfill it?
I will fulfill it.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you so much. Do you want to do one? You don't have to. You don't have to. It's all I can think about now. I mean, during what is probably the busiest time I've ever had in my life. I wish I had more time. Dear Santa, I hope you and Mrs. Claus are well. My name is Kimberly, and I've been a good girl. My parents can't buy me or my little sister presents for Christmas because they don't have enough money. My little sister's name is Brittany, and she's 6 years old. A couple days ago, I posted one of the letters. Say, if anybody would like to answer these letters, let me know. Well, I got a really large response. Right now, I'm feeling pretty good. I think I ended up with about 400, 450 letters. And I'd say about 100 to 150 of them have been fulfilled. We got to a point this weekend where we really were at such different points about this. Jim definitely went in a very certain direction and knew he wanted to fulfill these letters. And what I think ultimately that made me start thinking about was, are we really the ones that are equipped to handle this?
We're able to move a lot of letters.
Yeah, but not all of them.
I don't know. That to me is like saying, like, oh, well, I can't fix all the world's problems, so I'm not going to fix any of them.
You don't think about it, you just give. And, like, that's always been your way, and I love that about you.
Half the letters got filled, and the other half will go to the post office, where people can come up to the post office and fulfill them if they want. But, you know, Dylan and I are only two elves, and we made a little dent.
Hi, this is Randy from Positive Images. We would like to thank you for supporting our efforts in working with lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgendered, queer-questioning, and intersex youth and young adults. Positive Images is supported by private donations and contributions to support our efforts. To learn more about us and what we do, please log on to our website, www.pauseimages.org.
From all of us at Positive Images,
happy holidays!
Jeff and I will be right back after the music break. was my good friends Jason and DeMarco singing their version of the Noel Melody. You're listening to Outbeat now on KRCB FM Santa Rosa. It's time now for the Outbeat Youth segment. Welcome to this month's edition of Outbeat Youth. I'm Greg Moralia. Outbeat Youth is a segment for and about LGBT youth in the North Bay and beyond. We're here on the fourth Sunday of each month as part of Outbeat Now. We're going to begin tonight with a report on this month's Youth Empowerment Summit, sponsored by the GSA Network. And here with us is one of the youth organizers, Max Phillips. Max, welcome to Outbeat Youth.
Thank you.
Well, let's start out a little bit. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, where you go to school, what year you're in, and so forth.
I'm a senior at Menlo Atherton High School in Atherton, California. I'm co-president of my high school's Gay Straight Alliance.
Great. Okay. And you're how old are you now?
I'm 17.
17. And where exactly is Atherton?
It's very close to Palo Alto on the peninsula, about 35 minutes south of San Francisco.
Great. Okay. Well, a lot of our listeners are always curious about the coming out stories of our guests. So would you like to share yours?
Sure. I came out to my mom first during my freshman year. I came out to her as bisexual, and she was very accepting and was like, you know, Max, I'll help you through this. I'll help you sort yourself out. And so that was really encouraging. But I was not anywhere ready to come out to my friends or my dad yet. But over a course of 1 year, I built up the strength, and I realized that, you know what? There are people that aren't going to like me now because I'm going to come out as gay. I am going to lose some friends, but the people who are truly my friends are going to continue to be my friends despite my sexuality. And so I came out to my friends as gay. I did lose a couple friends, but I stayed strong. I persevered. I came out to my mom as gay, even though she already had known I was bi. And then I came out to my dad, and my dad was incredibly accepting. So I was very lucky, and still am very lucky, to have two very accepting and supporting parents, and all of my friends are extremely supportive of me.
Good for you. Great to hear. So tell us how you got involved with the GSA Network.
Well, my friend Jason Galasadas has been involved with GSA Network in the past, and I've been an activist in the gay community for a good 9 months now, and he thought it would be a really good opportunity for me. And so I applied for the GSA Network Youth Council, and I got in, and I've been on the Youth Council for about 4 or 5 months now, and it's been a really great experience so far.
Fantastic. Well, what role did you play in organizing this year's YES Conference?
I was on the YES Steering Committee. Basically, I've literally helped plan everything from different workshops to the opening ceremony to the closing ceremony to the dance down to what types of organizations would be at the resource fair.
And was this your first year going to the YES Conference?
Actually, yes, it was. I have only been out of the closet for so long, and I was always so scared that going to such events or participating in LGBTQ activism would make people think I was gay. So I really didn't want to get involved so much until I was out. But now that I am out, I'm getting involved as much as I can.
Well, tell us a little bit about how the conference went this year.
It was probably one of the best YES conferences ever. There were over 450 LGBTQ and ally youth at the conference, which is absolutely amazing. Everyone was completely energized. It went very smoothly. Everyone that I've talked to afterwards was just so enthusiastic about all of the different workshops that there were. And I think the best part for everybody was to dance afterwards, because it was a really great time for these youth to socialize. And they might not know any other queer people in their town where they come from. And then when they do come to an event like YES, it just gives them this amazing sense of community that they might not otherwise have.
450 people. So give us a sense of where all of these attendees came from.
All over. I would actually say it was really evenly spaced out. We thought that there were going to be a lot of people from just the Bay Area, and there certainly were a lot of people, but people came from as far south as Salinas, as far north as Eugene, Oregon. I met a group of people from Eugene, Oregon. There were people from as far east as Auburn. So a lot of people from all over, which is fantastic.
So is this a national event, or was it, or are there guest conferences in other parts of the country?
This was specifically just Northern California. Anyone could have attended, but a lot of, it was primarily Northern California, but a few people did come from Oregon.
Okay. Well, what kind of workshops did people go to?
There were workshops like how to build a kick-ass GSA, you know, like sex ed workshops. There was a workshop on the Make It Better project, which I helped co-facilitate. There were group discussion sessions, so people from their own region got together in groups and got to meet one another and network, which was fantastic. The Trevor Project was there. They had a workshop.
So you mentioned the dance, and you said it was really great. Tell us a little bit about that.
The dance was awesome. It was definitely way better than your average high school dance because there were no boundaries. A guy didn't have to dance with a girl. It was just sort of like, you know, have fun, be who you are. There was a drag catwalk during the dance. I and a couple other people dressed up in drag for the dance, and we got to do our little own thing, which was awesome. And, you know, it was just a lot of fun. The kids really, really, really just, I think, enjoyed spending time with this group of people. Because, like I said earlier, you know, people come from all around and in their own towns. They might be the only gay person, but when they do come to the Youth Empowerment Summit, there are so many people just like them.
We've been talking with Max Phillip from the GSA Youth Council. Max, thanks so much for being with us tonight on Outbeat Youth.
Thank you for having me.
We'll be back right after this.
Hi, my name's Deacon.
Hi, my name is Randy.
And my name's Zari, and we're peer counselors at Positive Images.
Positive Images is a member-driven organization that provides support and advocacy to LGBTQI youth and young adults.
We would also like to invite you to come with us and meet with us on Thursday nights from 7 to 9 p.m. at Santa Rosa High School.
If you want to learn more, please call us at 707-568-5830. Also, you can go to our website at www.pauseimages.org.
Joey Abrego from Montgomery High School was scheduled to be on our show this month, but didn't know about a very special Christmas gift he was getting that prevented him from being here tonight, so he'll be here next month. However, he did want us to invite everyone to Vikings Raid on Broadway, a special show featuring Montgomery High School drama alumni designed to raise money for the drama class's upcoming trip to Scotland for the Fringe Festival. It's tomorrow night from 6 to 9:30 p.m. at the Jackson Theater on Day School Place, and you can get tickets at Copperfield's bookstore or online at brownpapertickets.com. Our next guest is Ryan Olson, a good friend who is a student at the Bill Clinton School of Public Service. Ryan was on the air with us last year during his first year at this amazing school, and he's back tonight with an update on his many adventures. Ryan, welcome back to Outbeat Youth.
Thanks for having me, Greg. I appreciate it.
So this is your second year at the Bill Clinton School of Public Service. Why don't you start out by reminding us a little bit about this special school and what it's all about?
Yeah, well, the Clinton School of Public Service was started by President Clinton 5 years ago as a way to connect future leaders to various issues that they're interested in and empower them to change the world in their own way. And so I am the fifth class at the school, and the school is all about experiential learning. About 40% of the curriculum is actually in the field. We have three major components that are make up the field project, which the first one includes a regional project where you work locally within the state of Arkansas. And then the second project is actually considered an international public service project where the school helps you to identify an international project that you work on for the summer and then commit your time to. And then the third component is your final project called your capstone, where you identify a project on your own and then you fulfill the requirements of the course, which is to apply what you've learned in the classroom and in your other field work to your final field project, and that's my school.
Well, that all sounds really incredible. What phase of the program are you in now?
I'm in the final phase. I'm in my capstone project. I'm currently working at the UN through an organization called the Unitarian Universalist United Nations Office, doing a needs assessment of faith-based organizations surrounding their ability to advocate on behalf of the LGBT community. And then what I'm also doing is doing an asset map of the LGBT community see if we might be able to build some partnerships between those religious organizations at the UN who may be lacking the capacity to advocate on our behalf, with organizations that might be able to train them, give them some proper resources and toolkits to do a better job of advocating for people around the world who are lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender.
Well, that's pretty amazing. I mean, you're working in the United Nations building in New York, right?
Yep, basically. It's my job. It's so cool.
Well, that's really impressive. Now, tell us when you're going to be graduating.
I'll actually be graduating in May. I'll be graduating in May from the Clinton School and actually hope to continue my work at the United Nations working on these important issues.
Now, have you been out the entire time that you've been enrolled at the school there?
Yeah, at the Clinton School, I've found an incredibly open and affirming community of peers who love and support me for all of who I am, and that has actually been a big driving part of what's made me do what I've done. They support me in all that I do and believe in me, and it really means a lot.
As well it should. I mean, it's really great that you have that kind of support from your peers. I understand you went to Africa last summer. Tell us about that.
Yeah, for my international public service project for the Clinton School, I identified an organization called the Gay and Lesbian Coalition of Kenya, based out of Nairobi, who had an opening to develop their strategic plan, which include building a human rights training for gay and lesbian people in Kenya surrounding what's called the Yogyakarta Principles, which apply international human rights law to LGBT people. So basically, I lived and worked in Nairobi for about 3 months, and I developed a training which taught people about their basic rights as human beings to be able to empower them to build a community and to stand against homophobic laws, which still exist in Kenya, which penalize homosexuality with up to 14 years in prison. So I went all over the country and developed and implemented these trainings, and yeah, it was amazing.
Now, that had to have been a little bit scary for you. I mean, we've reported here on Outbeat Radio about the laws being proposed in Uganda, for example, that would make being gay eligible for the death penalty. You know, what was it like for you being on the same continent where being gay could result in such a tragic end?
Well, I think for me it was definitely an intimidating experience to enter, knowing what I knew. However, there was also the part of me that felt like it was also my responsibility as another human being to another human being. We have such privileges as an LGBT community in the United States that we aren't even aware of, and it just doesn't seem fair that we have people in other parts of the world who can't even express who it is they really are. And so entering the situation was definitely very hard. I was definitely crying on the phone to all of my friends right as my plane was leaving, saying goodbye just in case. However, once I got there, meeting the local people on the ground really was one of the most inspirational aspects of the entire program, because these people do live openly and honestly, and at least when they were with me, they were all of who they were, and they were just as fabulous and just as beautiful and amazing as any other LGBT person I've ever met. And their courage to be able to stand up to their peers, their religious leaders, and their government, and to say we have a right as human beings to exist as we are, was just so beautiful to me, and something that inspires me to this day to do the work that I do.
So did you experience any type of enforcement by the government, or did you witness any action taken by the government against people who were believed to be gay while you were there in Kenya?
I actually didn't. I was fortunate enough to have my white Western privilege on my sleeve wherever I went. So a lot of people didn't necessarily see that I was gay, but they did see that I was a white American, which they implied meant that I was rich and wealthy. So I was treated very well while I was in Kenya, although I did encounter many, many people who had either been kicked out of their homes, who had been suffered brutality by police, who were arbitrarily arrested, who had lost children because they were lesbians and they couldn't keep their kids. I mean, there were so many stories of hatred and bigotry and homophobia that really wrecked the lives of a lot of my friends over there. And to see them face some of the things that they went through, sometimes on a daily basis, was definitely a powerful experience.
Now, you said that people were able to be open and actually be who they are. Did you meet a lot of out gay people while you were there, or was it really an underground sort of a situation?
Well, I say that in the sense that these people who are the activists, who are the people that are making themselves visible in a community that condemns them, they had a bravery to be out and to be themselves despite the world around them.
Tell us what you've learned about being a public servant at the Bill Clinton School.
Well, you know, I think one of the biggest things for me is that it's about, first and foremost, yourself. And you can't change the world until you can change yourself and to be the person that you believe the world ought to live up to, be the change you want to see in the world kind of stuff. And for me, it's not about the big things that anyone will do. You can organize a rally for 500,000 people. You can go to Uganda and volunteer. You can do whatever. But for me, it starts with my every little interaction, and that means being nice to people and smiling at that person on the street and reaching out to your community, no matter what stereotypes or myths are out there. I mean, it's about creating that space for people to feel loved and cared for and to feel accepted for all of who they are, and then stemming from that sense of love, moving that love outward and changing the world, if that makes sense.
Sure.
So even if you're a 15-year-old kid in the middle of nowhere, that you, by just being a good person, by smiling at people, by offering to help people, by being a person that people can talk to, you make a difference in the world. And from there, you can extend that to whatever your passion is, and to do it with all your heart is the most important thing that I've learned in my activism.
So you said you're graduating in May. What are your plans for after graduation?
Well, I'm one of those people that have been on some giant trajectory, and I've had no idea where I've been going. But now that I've been at the UN for a few months, I'm starting to really discover a deep passion for human rights. And so what I'm hoping is that I'll be able to either, A, stay at the UN and work on these issues, or find an organization that works internationally or nationally that addresses not only issues facing the LGBT community, but any minority that is oppressed based on their sexual orientation or their gender identity. So sex trafficking, women's rights, masculinity, gays and lesbians, all sorts of different components. Whatever, as long as I am addressing human rights in those areas, that's where I hope to be.
Well, it sounds like you've got quite a career ahead of you. We've been talking with Ryan Olson, who is a student at the Bill Clinton School of Public Service. He's in his second year, getting ready to graduate in May. Ryan, thanks so much for joining us again on Outbeat Youth.
Thank you so much, Greg. I appreciate you inviting me, and good luck with everything.
Are you a writer, a poet, or musician? Let the world hear your voice on a special Outbeat Youth talent show broadcasting live right here on KRCB Radio on the last Sunday of May. Read your poetry, short essay, or perform your music. Let Sonoma County and the rest of the world hear what you've got to say. We're looking for LGBT youth under 25 years of age to feature on this show. For more information, go to outbeatyouth.com and click on Talent Show at the top of the page. Well, that wraps up this holiday weekend edition of Outbeat Youth. Remember, you can follow us all month long on Facebook, MySpace, and Twitter. Our shows are always available for listening and download on iTunes. Thanks so much for listening. Well, Jeff, we've got a couple minutes here before we end the show tonight. Tell us a little bit about what the sisters did yesterday.
Well, the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence out in the Russian River in Guerneville attended a couple of events yesterday. The first was the Community Holiday Dinner, which has been going on for quite a number of years. And recently, for the last 8 years, it's been run by Sister Clairvoyant and also Leslin from a local restaurant out in Guerneville. And so they put on the holiday dinner, and we attended just as hostesses, and then also later in the afternoon serve food. And this was the first year that either as Jeff or as Sister Demanda that I served my community on Christmas Day by serving the homeless and the needy with a meal in Guerneville.
Wow.
And it was pretty emotionally touching at times to see that we were making such a positive impact on people directly.
Now, how many people attended the dinner?
There were probably at the peak, probably about 150 people sitting. And I think dinner-wise, you know, with all the people that came by near the end to get extra food, you know, people were coming by getting food for seniors that were housebound. They were coming by getting food for other homeless friends that weren't able to come to the dinner, you know, coming by with seven or eight to-go plates, and we were just loading them with all the food because there was so much food left. You know, we also donated that food to the local shelter. Right. But yeah, there was we probably served 250, 300 dinners. It was it was an awesome event.
Well, sounds like a great way to spend Christmas.
Absolutely. So other than that, we have Outbeat Radio coming up next week with hosts Dr. Diana Dreyer and Sheridan Gold, and they have this to say about their show. What's new for the new year? What creative action are you taking? Join Living Proof hosts Sheridan Gold and Dr. Diana Dreyer as they explore hopes, dreams, and desires of what the new year may bring. And that will air tomorrow in this time slot at, or not tomorrow, I'm sorry, next Sunday in this time slot, 8 to 9 p.m. Right here on KRCB-FM Santa Rosa. And, of course, if you're listening on the web, it'll be on the web, on Comcast, and everywhere else. So that just about wraps up our show for our last show of 2010.
Yeah, it is. Our last show, and so we would like to wish you a very, very happy new year. Have a safe week, and don't party too hard out there.
Absolutely, and drive safe. Don't drive drunk. Cops are out in force. All that wonderful stuff. So here we have a closing song for you by Wham. It's called what, Greg?
Last Christmas. Have a good night, everybody.
Good night.
And as this year draws to a close, KRCB Radio thanks each of our members for your generous and continued support. When you give to KRCB, you create a space on the radio for artistic interpretation, independent and local voices, music from many genres, and the best of NPR national programs. During this season of giving, make a donation to KRCB, community-powered public radio for the North Bay. You can give us a call during normal work hours at 707-584-2000.